Friends, let us pray. Lord, impress upon us the great cost of our salvation. Remind us of the depth of your love. Instill in us a humility born out of gratitude. And clothe us with your righteousness this and every day. Amen. On yet another high holy day for the church, we gather virtually. I think it's safe to say that after doing this for over a year now, we have started to get used to gathering this way, maybe even appreciative of the convenience of being able to worship from our own homes. Going to church in our pajamas, refilling our coffees mid-sermon, live texting our reactions to the service in real time with our friends. There's no denying that this new way of doing church has its upsides. But days like today make us yearn for the time we were together in person. Because normally, on this day, this Palm Sunday, we would all be seated here together, excitedly in the pews, a hymnal in one hand and palms in the other, our necks craning to see the children processing down the center aisle while the choir leads us in a jubilant verse of Hosanna, Hosanna, the joy of the morning, the celebration of it all, suspending us in a sweet moment in time, almost distracting us from the sheer ridiculousness of it all. Yep, I said it. Palm Sunday is kind of ridiculous. Now, don't get me wrong. I love this day in the church calendar. I want all of the hosannas, each and every verse of all glory, laud, and honor, and not just one, but two palms, one for each hand. I love the pomp, the circumstance, the pageantry, the spectacle of it all. I love Palm Sunday. But if I'm being honest, this year feels different. Maybe it's our Lenten theme of Selah that is giving me pause. Maybe it's the fact that we aren't together in the sanctuary, delighting in all of the ritual goodness that usually comes with this day. Maybe it's the reality of the past year, the past few months, the past few weeks catching up with me. Today, on this Palm Sunday, the pomp is limited. The circumstances subdued, the pageantry is restrained, and if I'm being really honest, this year, the spectacle feels a little bit like the emperor's new clothes. Because after the music stops playing and the leafy branches stop their waving, I find myself left with the nagging question, wait, what exactly are we celebrating? We all know that today isn't Easter Sunday, right? We are all well aware that Maundy Thursday and Good Friday are still going to happen, right? We're all clear that the crowds that gathered to celebrate Jesus were probably the same crowds that called for his death, right? Now, to be fair, I've had these questions before, but this year they wouldn't let me go. So over the past few weeks, I've spent hours poring over the text, looking for some kind of epiphany or release. I consulted numerous commentaries and knowledgeable colleagues. I flipped back and forth from one gospel account to the next. But then I realized something important. I was trying to resolve a tension in the text that is supposed to be left unresolved. I was trying to answer a question that wasn't even being asked. I was trying to make sense of Palm Sunday on its own, but as we all know, this day doesn't stand on its own. It is one part of a grander story. That is the beauty of Holy Week. These stories come as a package deal. Without Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, and Easter Sunday, well, Palm Sunday just doesn't make any sense. And so today, my friends, we but begin our journey into Holy Week. Today, on this Palm Sunday, we open our hearts and our minds and invite the Spirit, allow the Spirit to do what she will do as we journey with our Lord and Savior from Jerusalem to Gethsemane, Golgotha to Emmaus. Hear now our scripture for the day from the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. When Jesus and his disciples were approaching Jerusalem at Bethphage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. And if anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.'" So they went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. Friends, this is the word of God for you, the people of God. Thanks be to God. During my decade living in New York, I attended my fair share of parades, marches, protests, and processionals, some by choice, some by chance. The summer months in particular are packed with weekly parades celebrating a wide variety of countries and causes, peoples and places, each one with their own unique character and feel. But no matter how different the parade, they all share this one thing in common: the crowds. Scores of people filling the sidewalks, pressing in against each other, shouting over one another, fighting for the same space and air, and yet united by whatever it is that brought them together in that time and place. Based on my experience, I've come to believe that you really only need two things to put on a good parade. You need a cause, and you need a crowd. First, the cause. Now, you gotta have something worth leaving your house for, worth losing your voice over, worth getting your feet stepped on over and over and over again. And if the cause is worthy enough, a crowd is sure to follow. This proves to be the case in our text for the day, Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Right after healing Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, the scripture tells us that Jesus and his disciples make their way towards the temple. Mind you, this is after Jesus has already performed miracles, including but not limited to healing the sick, curing the demon-possessed, and restoring a paralytic. This is after he preached to the multitudes and fed the thousands, and after he calmed a storm, walked on water, and preached truth to power. Based on all of this, it is safe to say that Jesus was a cause worthy of leaving your house for, worthy of losing your voice over, worthy of getting your feet stepped on over and over and over again. Hence, the crowd. Scripture doesn't say much about those who gathered for Jesus' processional, but we have enough. We know that they are willing to take the cloaks off of their backs and lay them on the dusty road for Jesus and his colt to ride over. We know that they have been waiting for and preparing for this moment due to the fact that they went out into their field, cut the leafy branches that they would also lay on the road for this Jesus of Nazareth. But most importantly, we know that the disparate voices of the crowd from the front and the rear of this parade somehow come together as one, singing the same hymn. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven. As I said, I've been to my fair share of parades and processionals. But this is the part that always astounds me. The crowd collectively offering words of praise and prophecy, exhortation and expectation, Hosanna and hope. They aren't just there because of what Jesus has already done. No, they are there because of what they hope he will do, what they expect him to do, what they demand of him to do. You see, if it was up to the crowds, Jesus would have come storming in on a mighty horse instead of some lowly donkey or an itty-bitty colt. If it was up to the crowds, Jesus would have been more like his ancestor, the great king David, instead of his father, the humble carpenter Joseph. If it was up to the crowds, Jesus would have met power with more power, force with greater force, and injustice with swift and exacting justice. If it was up to the crowds, this procession, this parade, this Palm Sunday moment would have been exactly what it was actually billed as, a moment to celebrate Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, not his walk down death row. But as we know all too well, this story isn't about the crowds. It's about the cause. It isn't about success. It's about sacrifice. It isn't about power. It's actually about peace. Because when it comes down to it, the story isn't about us. It's about him. And believe it or not, that is the good news we all need to hear today, even though it might not be what we want to hear today. I guess if I'm being really honest, the reason Palm Sunday feels different this year is because the world feels different this year. I feel different this year. Unlike Palm Sunday's past, where I have arrogantly judged the crowds for their convenient praise and their fickle loyalty, this year I acutely understand their need for immediate salvation, urgent justice, deliverance right here and right now. I think we all do. You see, if it was up to us, Jesus would have flicked his divine wrist and this pandemic would have been over before it had even begun. If it was up to us, Jesus would be more like our favorite politician, influencing legislation, more like a beloved public figure, raising awareness, more like a leader, changing things in the here and now. If it was up to us, Jesus would be meeting power with more power, force with greater force, and injustice with swift and exacting justice. If it was up to us, this procession, this parade, this Palm Sunday moment would be what it was actually billed as, a celebratory moment where we are all together lifting our voices, singing Hosanna, not some socially distanced hour where we find ourselves repeating the words over and over again, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. But that right there is the strange beauty of Palm Sunday. That is what we are celebrating. That fact that it isn't about the crowds, it's about the cause. It isn't about us, it's about him. Which means that no matter what the crowds did or didn't do, no matter what we do or don't do, No matter what the state of our heart is, the content of our prayers, the depth of our faith, Jesus is still going to ride into Jerusalem. Jesus is still going to march towards his death. Why? Because while this story may not be about the crowds, Jesus is. While this story may not be about us, Jesus is. And instead of simply meeting us where we are at, Jesus is taking us with him wherever he is going. Instead of being subject to kingdoms built for the purposes of man, Jesus is bringing the kingdom of heaven to us here on earth. And instead of processing in glory for himself, well, Jesus is going to walk the lonely road towards death for us, all of us. That is the King we worship. That is the King we honor. That is the King we love.